You better get some rest here. I know there's going to be rest and peace with God. But boy, we're going to be praising a lot. And when we have fun praising the Lord, we are going to have fun with Him in heaven. Sometimes when I sang that song growing up, I thought we were a little too happy when we sang the part about many will meet their doom. Actually, that should sadden us. It's a reality that more people will deny Jesus than accept Him. Actually, Jesus told us that. But it should never make us happy, and it does not make God happy to send people away from His eternal salvation plan. And Jesus is making rooms. Those believers who have gone on before us really just heard the voice of Jesus say, "Your room's ready. Goodbye to this earth. Come and dwell in the room I made for you." But we're still here, you and I. The trumpet may sound. The dead in Christ will go up and meet Him first. And then we'll go join them. And then He will be judge. He knows our life. He knows you better than you know yourself. But you know yourself well enough to know, to get to know who God is, what God is calling you to. And you know, if you're excited about seeing the judge, or you feel doomed about seeing the judge. Now see, no list of rules, no law is going to give you that confidence. Just doing a checklist type of thing that we've talked about in the past, where I've done this, I've done this, or I haven't murdered anybody, and I haven't done this, and I haven't done that. That's not what's going to save you. What's going to save you is your faith in the one who is merciful and gracious. That's what's going to save you from the doom. Jerome, actually, when he comes, I'm going to try to coerce him into singing on Sunday. And I don't think I'll have to do much coercing. But he sings a song, "Get Right Church and Let's Go Home." And when we think of the name of Jesus, it always helps us remind us that we need to get our life right with the judge, so we can go home. Because it's not this, once I have been told I have salvation, I have salvation. You work your salvation with God. And when you know you have sinned or you have a wrong attitude, you can take that. That's one thing that we have that non-believers don't have. We believe that we can always return to the feet of Jesus on the cross and let the blood of Jesus Christ come down upon our sin, no matter how many times we do from the day that we confess that we believe. And that He will bury it in forgiveness. And that He will bring, by the power of the resurrection, to a point to where a transformation can happen so that you don't return back to that same sin. And where we make an effort to please Him in that way, wherever we never get complete in our life, He will hold back what we deserve because of sin. And that's eternal separation, eternal punishment. He will hold that back. Actually, you can define that mercy. He will give mercy. He'll hold that back. But also, he'll give you something that I never earned or deserved because of my sin. And that's called grace. It is a gift of God given to you. So we live this life on a day-to-day basis, and it is a roller coaster. Sometimes you feel close to God, sometimes you feel like he's not anywhere near you. But you know, deep down you know, are you making every effort in order to please him with who you are? You know how your effort is in becoming more like Christ. Because as more you come like Christ, the more pleasing the Father is, because he was well pleased with his Son. But because of that belief and that effort that I want to give, and you say, well, Kevin, do you earn because of effort? No. Your effort is your response to salvation. Because he has saved you, because you believe in him, because you have decided that you will bring your sin to the cross, be forgiven, be resurrected to live a new life, to become like Jesus, to love like Jesus, because he does command us, I want you to love each other like I have loved you. Now, I don't know, anybody ever run across that passage that he spoke? So it's not something I'm making up. It's something our Lord and Savior said, you need to practice. You need to learn. You need to make every effort to love as I have loved you. And where you don't complete or fully complete, I will give you mercy and I will give you grace. Because your salvation, you are making the effort. If I make no effort at all after receiving the gift of salvation, then salvation don't mean much to you. You might even come to think that salvation is not really what you need. I think Christian people humble themselves before the Lord because they know they need to be saved. So that when they meet the judge, they don't fear the judge. Because your verdict will be something different than those who have rejected him. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now, I don't think it takes a whole lot of explanation. Who has God appointed? Jesus. Righteous Jesus, in which whom we have decided to follow into his likeness. He is to judge the world in righteousness. Now, I opened up the Bible this week and I looked for another name. And two names I didn't find as judge. Mine and yours. believers need to realize Jesus is the judge, you're not. We just got good news to tell people. We don't deserve salvation, but we're making every effort to live for Him because of it. It's a promise. If we believe and follow Him. And like I said before, our effort is our thank you note back to God for what He's done for us. So I didn't find my name. There's a teaching in the next verse. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. I don't know about you. I want to stay as far away as claiming to be judge of other people as I can be because of this. Now, that doesn't mean that we say, well, I can't make a decision or a discernment or have a message that what sin does to people. And if they stay in their sin and die in their sin, they have this separation that Jesus will not be able to fill the gap because they didn't let Jesus fill the gap. This is not about saying that there is no eternal punishment or anything like that. But what it's doing is it gets you out of telling other people who gets to go and who doesn't get to go. That's not our place. God knows our hearts. This is not about our group judging another group. Stay out of it. Because the same measure you judge other groups is the same measure God will say, okay, I'll judge you in the same way. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody's just teaching Scripture but it's not in the fullness or it's misunderstood. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to humble myself at a period of time in my life in my Christianity to say, my group that I choose to be a part of still is learning what Scripture says. We are not the have found it all group. We understand everything group. And if you're not part of my group, many will meet their doom. And you're happy about it. If God says that His will is that all men would repent of their sin and come to Him, don't you think that if the judge in righteousness wants every person to live righteously, that I should have the same type of heart? Now again, there are different understandings and different interpretations. I remember one, and I'm not going to mention groups, but I was talking to somebody in another group. It was over on LRU's campus when we had a time where we were able to put a table and some other groups could be there, and you can invite some of the college students to come and be with us. I think we even met some people that have come here because of that. And a pastor from another group, I think some of our people left our group and went to their group. And I should have went over and said, what did you steal my people for? Did not do that. he come over, and I tell you, it didn't take very long until I found out he had an axe to grind with me, just because I belonged to this group. And I found out, and it got to the point where I said, you know, all due respect, the thing that you're trying to tell me that you have trouble with our group, you're doing the exact same thing to me. Trying to convince me that his group has figured it out. And he said, you think you guys figured it out. I said, you know, I'll tell you one thing. Do you love Jesus? He said, yes. Do you believe in the Father as the creator of all mankind? Yes. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit will come and live inside you to transform you into the likeness of Jesus? Do you believe that? Yes. I say, we got enough to be one on to try to have a better conversation than what we're having right now. Because it's not about who's right, who's wrong. We're all wrong. We're sinners. But we're trying to do the best we can and make every effort we can. And we're going to make mistakes along the way. And we need to humble ourselves that the Lord will continue to grow in that likeness. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to give up things that other people say you don't have to do. Well, it's not about doing something. It's about believing in something and following Jesus, really. You just take baptism for a subject. Yeah, I get questioned. Those who are not baptized, are they going to hell? Those who people are baptized are going to hell. And they want me to make a judgment, and I just say, look, it's not for me to judge. Because I don't think it's about do or don't. It's about following Christ. He set an example, why not do it? If he set an example of having compassion towards people, why not have compassion towards people? If he set an example about asking John the Baptist to bury him in water so he can come up out of it to live righteously, then why not just follow Jesus? And then our talk on Sunday morning, we're trying to figure out this Holy Spirit thing. And I've grown up in a group that has shied away from that subject. As if we fear a spirit of holiness just because somebody else thinks of it a different way. I thought love drove out fear. Yeah. And so with that, then we can have some confidence. I even have confidence in what I don't know yet. I don't know certain things yet, but I tell you what, I'm asking God, please reveal some things so that we could be the body of Christ. But I tell you one thing, we will never go wrong if we're a body of love. We'll never go wrong because God is love. He is a purist of the spirit of love. This third slide, who is Jesus? Well, he's the one that God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Now, in this room, we are a part of the living. The dead have gone on before us. But the dead in Christ will rise. I want to be sensitive towards this, but I'm going to give you an example of what a brother said one time that gave me such overwhelming confidence. He has a brother that's gone on before us. And as the love of his life was dealing with grief, he turned to the doctor and said, she's just jealous because I get to see Jesus before she does. Isn't that a great attitude? Oh, death, where is your sting? When Megan passed, it tore our hearts. But what she knows next is wholeness. And it was time for her reward. It's time for her to receive. You'll hear a little bit more about that on December 14th. But I tell you one thing. When we talk about our loved ones that's gone on before us, you got to brag about God. Because God's the one that gave them to us to enjoy. God didn't rob you. He just rewarded you with the love that you had from them. The judge of our faith. So I got a question. Jesus being the judge of my faith, do I have a dead one or do I have a live one? One thing good about being still a part of the living is that Jesus can still resurrect the dead faith. A misunderstood faith. Are we good and faithful servants or are we lukewarm in our service? You know that and God knows that. I don't get to define what that looks like, but you can come up with ways to where you serve God and serve Jesus in all circumstances. I think doctors are blown away when Christian people don't have the same attitude of the world about the sickness that they're dealing with. I really believe doctors are blown away. I think nurses are happy to hear somebody who is thanking them for their job instead of complaining about their job when we're ill. By faith, it's being sure of what I hope for and certain of what I cannot see. And there's four things that I want to remind you this morning and just going to read down through them and read some verses to go along with it. That talks about by faith and Jesus being the judge of our faith. What we have in our faith in Him. We have eternal life. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in His hands. And whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And remember, belief is not a statement. Belief is an action. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. I don't know about you. I don't want to live with God's wrath on me. By faith in Jesus Christ, I can have eternal life. The second one, I can be called his child, and I'll be heirs. Listen to what Romans 8 says, and I'm going to start, let me see, in verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Why is it important for you to learn more about the Spirit of holiness? Because we need to live by it. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Now go home and chew on that. It's Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. And that's what you have in your faith in Jesus Christ. And you will be judged by your faith. You find salvation in your faith because it becomes a part of your life. The third one, you're justified. In Jesus Christ, you're justified. You have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. By our faith in Jesus Christ, we are pardoned. We are forgiven. The one part of the verse that was not on the slide earlier, I want to make sure we read. In Acts 10, verse 42 and 43. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All prophets testify about Him, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Through the name of Jesus Christ, our judge. What is our verdict? Our verdict. Our verdict on the next slide is what we'll meditate on. The love that God has for you paid the price for mercy. And then your verdict is not guilty. By faith, your guilt has been washed away. Let's meditate on that. I'm going to read a passage sometime during the meditation, and then we'll pray. But as you take your cup and you remember the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, remember, guilt is changed to not guilty. Let's do that right now. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So where then is boasting? Is it excluded? Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since there's only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Well, Father, we come before you trying to get our hearts and our minds wrapped around, actually, who's judge? But your judgment is so righteous, and ours is not as much. Whose judgment is full of mercy? Well, yours is. And sometimes we follow in it, and sometimes we stipulate or find favoritism with mercy. Whose judgment is gracious? Only yours. And we are a people who don't deserve either grace or mercy. But because of Jesus and your love for us and his willingness to die, we believe he is your Son that has represented true righteousness. And then we want to make every effort to follow him in any way and in every way. And where we lack or fall down in our effort to please you, Father, you give us grace and you give us mercy. It's by faith in Jesus Christ, all wrapped in one, that salvation can be received and can be given to all. May we be a people that will lead others to a confident judge so that they can stand before you and be ready to hear, enter in, good and faithful servant. May your kingdom grow because of the people in this body is living by faith. Through Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, we say together, amen.